Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome, everybody, to Histories of the Unexpected, the show in which we demonstrate how everything has a history, even the most unexpected of subjects, like ribbons, clips, and pungency.
Oh, Sam, I love the idea of pungency. It's all about the history of smell, really strong smells. But we've all, for the moment, be following the links in our minds as we come across them, explaining how those histories link together in unexpected ways. Who knew, for example, Sam, that the history of cannibalism is in fact all about Tudor medicine? They literally ate mummy corpses. Or that the history of paperbacks is in fact all about freedom during World War II.
The man not sitting opposite me because we're social distancing, but he will pilot us through these micro-histories, is one of the country's leading professors of history. It's Professor Extraordinaire James Daybell. Hello, James.
Hello, Sam. And the man not sitting opposite me, but ably helping me co-pilot these episodes, is the famous historical adventurer himself, Dr. Sam Willis.
This is the seventh, of our special Christmas-themed micro-histories in which we embrace the task of demonstrating how an unexpected subject not only has a history, but is massively important and very, very interesting. We do it in just 15 minutes, and we do it without just talking faster. We start with a shared example, and then have just 5 minutes each to make a case for an interesting history on that very unexpected subject. Contributions are rigorously timed.
And you, dear listeners, you will get to vote on social media on what you think is the most interesting fact you heard today.
Today's topic, inspired by Christmas, is the very obviously Christmas-themed history of obscenity. Right, James, where are we going to start?
Well, Sam, you might think that Christmas is all about the Christmas story. You might think that it is all about crackers and Christmas trees and whatever. But nothing says Christmas quite like obscenity, because it was also a time for subversion during the High Middle Ages and during the Renaissance, when snowmen were regularly built as winter effigies. Now, during the cold winter of 1510 to 1511, the citizens of the city of Brussels built around 110 individual snowmen around the city, and all they depicted all manner of things in snow folklore, figures such as unicorns and mermaids. They displayed religious and political themes, and here, to the point of this podcast, as well as extreme sexual and even scatological imagery. Now, get this, one of the more sexualized sculptures could be found in a part of the city called Rosendal, which was the red light district of the city, which depicted a prostitute completely naked with breasts and genitalia sculpted to attract attention, and also a dog ensconced between her legs. Get that for obscenity.
Ensconced, I quite like. The more scatological, that's poo-based humour, was a snow cow, so a cow made out of snow, that delivered, here I'm quoting here, turds, farts and stinking, a defecating centaur, a mannequin piss fountain depicting a small boy urinating into the mouth of a drinker, and finally a drunk drowning in his own poo. These are obviously a far cry from the jolly, happy soul that we know from the Frosty the Snowman song of 1950. Absolutely amazing history there, James. But where are you going to take this now? Where else can we do, what can we do with the history of obscenity?
Aha, well, I'm going to take you to 17th century Devon. That's where I'm going to take you. But you need to rigorously time me, Sam.
I will. You're ready to go. 17th century Devon in 3, 2, 1. Begin your 5 minutes. Start now.
Oh, well, have I got a humdinger for you here, Sam. Obscenity is all about the early modern street. And I'm back to the 16th and 17th century and back to the church courts. Now, this was a period in which the church sought to police social behaviour, and any infraction of societal norms was, of course, brought before these courts. And we're talking here about all sorts of cases, from slander and drunkenness and debauchery, people insulting authority, showing disrespect to the church itself. One parishioner was caught saying that he thought that the Sunday's sermon was not worth a fart from his tail. And this is something that I think is always important to bear in mind when you consider popular religion during the Reformation period. It's all too often all about theology and high politics when at grassroots level. It's all about apathy, superstition and ignorance. It's a little bit like our modern political system that spawned the two B's, Brexit and Boris. So when we look at the history of insult, we were talking about obscenities there. And often this side of society is overlooked in the standard history. It's glossed over, it's erased, it's excised. But in actual fact, it's an enormous part of the lives and experiences of people of the past. And the puritanical forms of selection and archiving should not marginalise nor mute it, because it has a real history. And everyday life does not simply exist along the preserved contours, but is excavated on the margins, Sam. This is an enormous preamble to get to the meat, and I return here to Todd Gray's excellent book, Strumpets and Ninnycocks, Name-Calling in Devon, which trawls through the consistory courts in Devon for deviancy and transgression. And it's here that we find obscenity. And I'm going to talk a little bit about a chapter called Lecherous Men, which is all about whoremongers, cuckolds and whittles. So there are all sorts of men who are accused of being sort of caught up in having transgressed the bounds of sexual decency. And they go to court because they call each other all kinds of names. So one of the most popular is calling somebody a cuckold. And a cuckold doesn't necessarily mean that you've done anything yourself. It's actually a criticism that your wife has been an adulteress behind your back. And several Devonians, use this term about their sort of fellow men. And the word cuckold, a man from Stoke Canon in 1615, is recorded to have said, is generally accounted and reputed and held to be a scandalous and an opprobrious word by which his wife is meant to be a whore and a woman of incontinent or adulterous life. So get that. There's a fellow in Bradnich who, be warned for any of you in Bradnich, who...
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
was supposed to have grown horns at the sight of his wife, which basically the horns are these sort of are showing that you've got these sort of cuckold horns that show that your wife has been sleeping behind your back. Now, far worse than being called a cuckold was in fact being called a whittle, W-I-T-T-O-L-S. And this was apparently exactly nine times worse than being a cuckold.
Exactly.
Nicholas Breton, in 1605, in An Old Man's Lesson and Young Man's Love, described it as a name of the most monstrous beast. And the lad answers, a whittle because he hath a world of horns. And it's described, the word. A witness in Exeter explained in 1622 that the wife of a man of whom the said word whittle is spoken was and is an incontinent woman and a whore, and that her husband hath and does consent to her incontinency and whoredom. So there we are, Sam. Obscenity in 16th and 17th century Devon is all about, and I think you're going to pause me now with a sound.
I am going to pause you. There we go. That's your obscenity beep. Can you hear that?
The history of editing and stopping people listening to obscene things on the radio.
Excellent.
And on podcasts.
Excellent.
Go on, you can finish up, James.
Obscenity for me is all about name-calling in 16th and 17th century Devon, Sam.
Very nice indeed.
And very local for us.
Yeah, yeah. I like the Bradninch thing. I've been there playing cricket quite a few times.
I have a very good friend who lives in Bradninch. Yeah. He's not a whittle or a cuckold, as far as I know.
As far as you know. You never know, though. Well, gosh. Okay, I'm ready to go.
Okay, well, I shall be studiously and rigorously timing you. Where are we? Here we are, setting my timer. Do you know the other day I actually set my timer for you and it went off? Okay, on your marks, get set, do history, Sam.
Do history.
It's a bit like the start to Bake Off, but do history. Do right, history. You've used up 5 seconds already. You better get started.
Okay. I'm going to America in the mid-19th century to talk about Victorian-era morals. And it is a fairly astonishing tale and a rather sad one. And it starts with a chap called Anthony Comstock. He was born in 1844. He died in 1915. Very significant man. In the American legal history profession, in particular, he was an anti-vice crusader, was known for fathering United States obscenity law. He began professional life as a United States postal inspector. I don't know why I like that, but I really do like the fact that he was a postal inspector before becoming, check this out for the name of something, James, he's the secretary of the New York Society for the Suppression of Vice. What sort of a man was he? He was a zealot. He was particularly against the producers of what he considered to be pornography, which actually involved any material at all that discussed sex, including birth control literature and pamphlets. He even saw sporting newspapers, particularly one called The Day's Doings, as being a purveyor of obscene images. And he was particularly concerned about their effect on youth, on young people, because these kind of sporting newspapers were so readily available to view. This gives you a bit of a taster of the guy. Talking about these illustrated weekly papers, he said this in 1883. Satan, yes, that's how I've gone. Satan resolved to make the most of these vile illustrated weekly papers by lining the newsstands and shop windows along the pathway of the children from home to school and church, so that they could not go to and from these places of instruction without giving him an opportunity to defile their pure minds by flaunting these atrocities. So this guy was a proper baddie. James, this will horrify you. Throughout his life, he destroyed 15 tons of books, £284,000 of plates for printing objectionable books, nearly 4 million pictures. He claimed that books were feeders for brothels. He was responsible for 4,000 arrests. He claimed he drove, he personally claimed this, right? He drove 15 people to suicide in what he described as his fight for the young. So on the one hand, you have this Anthony Comstock, right? On the other, I want to talk about Ida Craddock. She's an advocate of free speech, women's writings, sexual education. She writes a history of pamphlets, which essentially at the time they're known as marriage manuals, with titles like The Wedding Night. And it's kind of like sex education, basically, in the mid-19th century. She makes some very radical points, not least she asserts that to force intercourse on a man's wife without her desiring it amounts to rape, which seems pretty obvious to us now, but really was quite a radical notion at the time. Here's a little bit of her writings from The Wedding Night. This is her advice to newlywed couple on their honeymoon. The very first thing for you to bear in mind is that inasmuch as nature has so arranged sex that the man is always ready, as a rule, for intercourse, whereas the woman is not, it is most unwise for the man to precipitate matters by exhibiting desire for genital contact when the woman is not yet aroused. You should remember that the organ of which you are justly so proud is not possessed by a woman, and that she is utterly ignorant of its functions, practically, until she has experienced sexual contact, and that it is to her who is not desirous of such contact something of a monstrosity. What happens is that at the behest of Comstock, Ida is tried and convicted by writing about things like this, sort of guidance for the sexual lives of young married people. And the judge declares that The Wedding Night is so obscene, lewd, lascivious, and dirty that the jurors, are not allowed to actually see it during the trial, so it's very one-sided. Anyway, she then writes a letter, and this is where it gets sad. To the public, I am taking my life because a judge, at the instigation of Anthony Comstock, has decreed me guilty of a crime which I did not commit, the circulation of obscene literature, and has announced his intention of consigning me to prison for a long term. The man is a sex pervert. He is what physicians term a sadist, namely a person in whom the impulses of cruelty arise concurrently with the stirring of sex emotion. The sadist finds delight in inflicting either physical cruelty or mental humiliation upon the source of that emotion. He also may find pleasure in gloating over the possibilities of others. What's that?
That is the shower scene from the 1960 film Psycho.
Ah.
Which is sort of obscene in a sort of very violent, horrific way.
Yeah, it's amazing just listening to the noise of that without seeing it. Let me finish up, because she finishes this letter. She rages about Comstock and how important her work is. And how she hates to see husbands and wives suffering, how nearly all the suffering could be done away with if only Anthony Comstock were not hoodwinking the public into believing that sexual information must be kept away from. She finishes the letter and then she slashes her own wrists and inhales the gas from the oven in her apartment, and she dies. So very sad indeed. But wow, an amazing story there. So in this respect, obscenity is all about an unfair persecution of people wanting to learn about sexual lives in America in the 1840s. It's about suicide. It's about sexual perversity. It's about your behaviour on a wedding night. I'd love to do more of that story, James.
It sounds very good, Sam. You should write it up and pop it as a little blog entry on our Histories of the Unexpected magazine, perchance.
Thank you all very much for listening to us. Do please follow me on social media. I'm at Dr. Sam Willis.
And I'm at James Daybell. And the podcast is at Unexpected Pod. We are also on Instagram, and follow us on Facebook as well. And we also have a website, historiesoftheunexpected.com, where you can see everything that we've been up to over the past few years.
Yeah, and you can buy yourself some nice signed books there as well. We're going to be continuing with this Christmas micro-history series. We're doing one on carrots in the next few days, so be sure to listen in to the wonderful history of carrots. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys, and hope you're feeling festive.
Hmm. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.